Morning, everybody. I wanted to read to you something, but before I do, I was telling some guys this morning that I was thinking about two people that are getting promotions this week. One of them is, I was talking to a guy, a friend of mine, who's the regional director of Young Life for the state of Tennessee, and he's been in a small group with our new governor, Bill Haslam, for 25 years. And he said that Bill Haslam was doing a statewide rallies all this week to, you know, to greet people and thank them and everything, and just to start out his inaugural week. And he scheduled all of his rallies so that he could be at his 6 a.m. Friday small group in Knoxville. And he said, you know, Bill Haslam has always been a godly, sweet guy, but since he got into politics and became the mayor of Knoxville, the longer he was in politics and the more he's been in it, the sweeter he's gotten. And I'm just like, wow, that's super cool. But that's another thing I wanted to let you guys know is that there's a national ministry that is called Moms in Touch, and it's about it's moms getting together to pray, really in spiritual warfare, for teachers and kids in our schools across our country. And Esther Hollowell has been the coordinator for Anderson, Roan, and Morgan County, and Scott County, I think, and Campbell County, and has now been named the state coordinator of Moms in Touch. So it's super awesome. Esther, will you? There you go. Way to go. So we're very pumped. I'm super pumped about that. So anyway, I wanted to read to you guys out of the book of Leviticus. And so if you can find Leviticus, it's in the clean pages. But Leviticus chapter 23, it says in verse 1, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are the appointed feasts, the appointed feast of the Lord, that you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly, and you're not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord.'" And now I wanted to read out of the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. It says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God said, 'So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall not enter my rest.' And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day with these words, 'And on the seventh day, God rested from all of his work.'" And then in verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall short. No one will fall by following the example of disobedience. Father, I do ask you to help us and help us to understand your word. And we do want to lift up, Lord. I do want to lift up our new governor, and just so thankful that thank you for the one who is going out, and we ask you to bless him. And thank you for our new governor, Lord. And thank you for he has a beautiful, he's just a beautiful love for you. And I ask you to use that in a really, really super way. Thank you for Esther, Lord, and John, and thank you for her new responsibilities, and that we could be a help to them and to her in everything. Just bless her week of training, and we pray a blessing down on them, and also for us, Lord, and for me. You would help me not to, you know, make a mess of this, but to explain your beautiful words in a simple way, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a, I don't know if y'all know this, but this is the 10th anniversary. This week was the 10th anniversary of Wikipedia, which I don't know if you know what Wikipedia is, but it's this awesome thing where it's like an encyclopedia on the internet that you just look up anything in the world. And the super cool thing about Wikipedia is if you know something about that subject, you can throw your stuff in there too, and it just goes up on it and add, you know, all of your knowledge. So it's just like kind of the combined wealth of the knowledge of the people of the world on every subject in the world. And sometimes it says things that maybe not necessarily true, and so you wouldn't really know. At one point it said David Beckham was a Chinese goalkeeper of the 18th century, which isn't true. But Stephen Colbert said that Wikipedia proves that you can make, if you make something up and get enough people to agree with you, it becomes reality. He calls it wikiality. But you do, there are, I was looking up some facts on different holidays in our country, and I learned a lot of things. Some of them, I'm not sure if they're exactly true, but President Franklin Pierce was the first president to have a Christmas tree in the White House. 120,000 Christmas trees are sold out of the state of Florida. Santa actually has 31 hours because of time zones to deliver presents, but he has to do it at a rate of 332 homes per second. Those little sweetheart hearts that they sell at Valentine's used to be, they were invented in 1866. They were called motto hearts, and they have no sodium and only 3 calories a piece. And the in 1775, Ben Franklin came out of a Christmas party, and his wife was so mad at him that she threw a fruitcake at him, and it struck the Liberty Bell. Fruitcakes, if you have a fruitcake left over from Christmas, the most common use of leftover fruitcakes in America are you can use them as Duraflames in your fireplace, or people put them in their trucks to keep from skidding in the snow. It's a Wonderful Life was it originally a detective story written for Humphrey Bogart. And the original idea of the story is when a bell rang, an angel would get cement shoes. This is the last year that children are going to be able to sit on Santa's lap without passing through a metal detector, according to the Department of Homeland Security. I don't know if that's true. But the eggnog was actually created because its predecessors failed commercially. Beef nog, ham nog, and chicken nog. So I got it off of, you know, Wikipedia, so it must be true. I was thinking a lot about holidays just because, you know, this is the holiday. We're at the end of the holiday season, and we're going to a season where we don't really have a, you know, tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King Day, and then next month we have President's Day and Valentine's Day. But the major holidays that people, you know, ones that last a long time and everything, are behind us, and some people, Groundhog's Day, and some people complain that this is kind of the season where, you know, you don't have as many holidays in a row. And I thought, just to kind of get us down off the holidays for the next, you know, few weeks, is just to talk about holidays that the people of God in the Old Testament had. And there's a book in the Old Testament. And it was so, I think it's difficult for us to understand how important it was to them. God gave it to somebody after that person spent a month on a mountain. And it was a mountain. Remember how like the children of Israel, and when they came out of Egypt and they had been enslaved for 4 centuries, and they came and they were going through, God brought them out with like a whole bunch of miracles. They were going through the wilderness, and after about a month, they stopped at a mountain. It was the first mountain they had ever seen in their life, because the only mountains that Egypt has are the pyramids. And, you know, I don't know if they probably thought, wow, I wonder how long it took to make this thing. But it was, but when they got to this mountain, it was covered with smoke and fire and thunder and lightning, and there were trumpets blowing that they didn't know where they were coming from, the top of this mountain, and they said they got louder, and it was really, really freaky for them. And God wanted them to know that this was a very, very serious time, and he was going to tell them some things that they needed to never forget. And the person who came down from a month up on that mountain with God, Moses, among other things, one of the things that he had was the book of Leviticus. And It's just these are things that God wanted his people to never forget. They would be difficult to understand and important in ways that they didn't even know, in subconscious ways, and even important for people in the future who hadn't even wouldn't be born for centuries. But it was an extremely important book to the people of God way, way, way back in those times. And chapter 23, I just wanted to like look at it for maybe a month or so. But chapter 23 is a chapter of all the holidays that God really, really wanted them to celebrate. I mean, it was just, he wanted them to make sure that they celebrated certain things and never, ever forgot to celebrate them. There were, you know, some, because God wanted them to know how much he loved them and how special they were to him. There, like, there is a holiday, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Like, you hear a lot about tithing and, you know, about how they, God had laws about their tithing. But in Deuteronomy chapter 14, I mean, think if you've ever heard about this growing up when they talked about tithing. But there was a tithe where people had to take a tenth of everything that they had grown or produced to their flocks or sheep and all that stuff. And go to a place, God said, I want you to go to a place, you haven't been there yet because you haven't been in the land yet, but I want you to go there, and I want you to take a tenth of everything, and I want you to have a nationwide picnic, and I want you to consume all of it and have the greatest time ever. And if you can't get to that place, I want you to take a tenth of everything you've produced for a year, exchange it for money, and buy whatever your heart desires, food, rich food, wine or strong drink, so that you will learn to fear the Lord your God. Have you ever heard of that? I mean, it's outrageous. It is kind of outrageous. But God wanted them to know how outrageously he loved them. Every 50th year, by the law of God, they were to have a national holiday that lasted an entire year. Everybody was off for a year. And if you had debts, they were canceled. And if you were a slave, you were set free. And it was just holidays. I mean, that's outrageous. Like, could you imagine a year? Everybody's off for an entire year. And he just wanted them to know how awesome he was and how much he loved them. Holidays are times where most of them are about remembering something that happened, like the 4th of July, and most holidays are associated with certain foods that help you to remember that, or certain smells. For me personally, whenever I smell candy corn, and especially those little pumpkins, I always think, it's almost Christmas. Thanksgiving. It makes me think about Thanksgiving. Not Halloween. It doesn't make me, because I hate that holiday, and I block it out of my mind, but candy corn, you know, when you start to see it, it's like, it's almost Thanksgiving, and there are certain songs, you know, actually, here's a holiday fact that I bet you didn't know, but for Dr. Martin Luther King Day, the civil rights song, We Shall Overcome, was actually taught to people by a civil rights folk singer named Pete Seeger, who learned it from a group of people involved in the civil rights movement in Newmarket, Tennessee. And a lot of holidays have songs associated with them. They had three times during the year in the ancient Israel where they would have holidays that lasted a week, and everybody had to come to Jerusalem like hiking all week long. And they would have a week of three times a year of national camping, picnic, kind of like Bonnaroo without the drugs or mud. And they had songs that they would sing. So actually, Psalm 120 to 134 are called the Psalms of Ascent, or the Psalms of Climbing. And it was songs that people would sing as they would march to Jerusalem to have these national festivals. And like Psalm 121, it says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And, you know, when you got to, from like Galilee, when you got near Jericho, you come to these hills before you descend into Jerusalem. And they were dangerous because there was a lot of bandits there. That's where the whole story of the Good Samaritan and the guy getting mugged in that story It happened in on that road in those hills. And so, you know, they look at these hills and it's like, this is going to be scary. And when we camp out up there, how do we know bandits aren't going to get us? And they just like, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Who's going to help us? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And he who watches over Israel will never slumbers or sleeps. And we can just go to sleep, you know, because in our little camping thing, because he's going to be watching over us all night. And, you know, that's what holidays are for remembering. And God said, there are some holidays I want you to celebrate. I really, really demand it. Because there are some things that you should never, ever forget. It's like, what if you forget them? What if you forget? How much would it devastate a human psyche or relationships if you forget these things? I don't want you to ever forget things. And it's like, so that's what I want to talk about, is just like, what are the things that God wanted them to celebrate and never forget? Because what would happen to a person if you forget it? And the very first holiday that God talks about in the holiday chapter of the book of Leviticus is a weekly holiday. It was the Sabbath day. It was a holiday it was a day that they had every single week. And it was a day, it says it was a holy assembly. It was where people got together, and it was a Sabbath to the Lord. It was a day dedicated to like praising God. And Isaiah said, it's a delight, it's a delightful day. It was a day to enjoy, to be together with people who love God and to love God together and just praise him. It wasn't a day of rest. I mean, the word Sabbath, it doesn't mean rest. It means stop. I want you to stop. I want you to stop working on that day, which I think it might be difficult for us to understand how inconceivable it was. I mean, those people had been slaves their entire life. Out of 2.5 million people, the only one who had ever had a day off his entire life was Moses, because at half his life, he was going to be the next Pharaoh, and the next half of his life, he was a fugitive. But they had never had a day off. And it's like, how do you take a day off? Like, how do you stop working? We had to make, 1,170 bricks. We have stuff we need to do. We have goals that we have to achieve. We have problems that we have to solve. I mean, you can't just stop. And God's like, I want you to stop one day a week. Stop. There's a place in Jeremiah chapter 17 when people weren't stopping. I mean, they were just keeping going on the Sabbath day. And God told him to go to the people's gate, which was a big gate in the city of Jerusalem. And he said, tell them, stand at the gate and say, you people, stop, stop. On this day, stop. Stop these wagons. Stop selling stuff. In Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah said, because there were people he caught some people like squashing their grapes, and there were wagons that were going in with fish and produce and stuff on the Sabbath day. And Nehemiah said, down from the wall, he said, I'm stopping this. And he made sure that before the sun went down, because that's when the Sabbath day starts, when the sun goes down, which was really like on Friday night, he said, I'm closing the gates. And I'm putting guards at the gate, and I'm making sure that none of these wagons go in, and people would stay outside the gate and just camp out there waiting to get in. And Nehemiah said, I don't want it. You have to go home. Everybody needs to stop and enjoy this day. And he said from the top of the wall, don't make me come down there and lay hands on you. You guys, you need to stop. This is about, it's about stopping. And Exodus chapter 31, God said that the Sabbath day is, he said, it's a sign to you. And the word for sign is basically, it's a word that means it's something to teach you. It's very, very important. I'm only giving it to you guys of having a national day off of praise and enjoy in your day, because it's supposed to, it's a, it's, It's going to teach you things. The word sign is the same word that's used of circumcision. When God told this old man and an old woman who had never had a baby that they were going to have a baby, and, you know, 15 years passed, it didn't happen. And so she said, why don't you, I've got a slave girl, why don't you just sleep with her? And, you know, maybe she'll get pregnant and that can be our baby and we'll help God out. And he was like, okay. And so, you know, and then like 15 years later, God speaks to him and said, that's not what I meant. I meant you two, I'm going to be doing this and giving you the, you know, powers and all that. How can I get this across to you? Just thought of something you'll never forget, you know. And the Sabbath day was like that. It was to teach them. God, you know, because people were saying, we can't stop because we have goals that we have to achieve. And we have problems that we have to solve and we can't stop. And God was teaching them, no, you don't. You don't have to. God, in Exodus 31, God said, I am the one who makes you special. You are special to me. You don't have to achieve anything to be special or to be awesome. You don't have to achieve any sense of success. You don't have to prove anything. Just the fact that you belong to me, you can't be any more special than that. And you don't have to solve your own problems. They were in Leviticus chapter 25, God gave them another. He said, every seventh year is going to be, you're going to have to stop working in your fields. No farm work for 1 year. You can't plant crops for the next year. You can't tend your plants. You can't plant any plants because I'm going to teach you that I'm the one that makes this grow and I'm going to make it grow. And, I mean, it gets cold there. The same thing happens to their tomato plants that happened to our tomato plants when it gets, you know. And God said, I'm going to miraculously make your plants grow and fruit and stuff to teach you that I am the one who takes care of you. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to achieve any goals. You're just special because you belong to me. And you don't have to solve your own problems. You don't have to provide for yourself. You know, you have work to do because I give it to you, but all you have to do is please me. But actually, God says, I'm the one who provides for you. And it's extremely important that you learn that. And I, you know, pretty much, I was thinking about it. Everything evil that people do is because they're trying to prove how awesome they are or they're trying to solve their own problems and provide for themselves in some way. Everybody who is in jail or prison, except for people who are in there and they shouldn't be in there because they didn't do it. Or, you know, there are people who love Jesus that are in prisons all around the world because they love Jesus. So not including them. Everybody that's in jail or prison who belongs there is in there because of one of those two reasons. From athletes, Olympic athletes who do doping, to Napoleon. It was all because people are trying to prove something or provide for themselves. And God was trying to teach them, you don't have to do that. You don't have to achieve all these goals that you have. And you don't have to solve your problems by yourself. In fact, you can't. I never intended for people to live like that. To live like always pushing themselves to accomplish this and accomplish that and do this and earn that and buy this. And there, I never intended. In fact, one of the most important parts of having that day, God says in the book of Leviticus, was to remind them of the first Sabbath. And that God's like, I'm the one who made you. That you're special because you're mine. And I can take care of you. And, you know, when you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, it's so awesome. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, and the earth was formless and void. The Hebrew word is the word tovu and bohu, and it means chaotic and empty. And so like in this chaotic and empty situation, God began to, in the first six days, he began to make a place, because it was chaotic, it was tovu, a place for everything. And because it was bohu, because it was empty, he began to make things and put things in their place. And so like on the first 3 days, he made a place for everything. And on the fourth, fifth, and sixth day, he put everything in its place. And like on day one, he made a place. And on day four, he put the stuff in day one that he made a place for, and on day two he made a place, and in verse, in like on day five, he put that stuff in the stuff, in the place that he had made in day one, like, and the, on the, I know it's kind of a little confusing, but like on the first day, he made light and dark, and on the fourth day, he made the sun and the moon, the stars to go, you know, like in the light and dark. And on the second day, it says he made waters below and the waters above, like clouds and stuff. And on the fifth day, he made fish to go in there and birds to go like in the air. And on the third day, he made the dry land separated from the water. And on the fifth day, he made like animals and he made people to go on. It's just like a place for everything and everything in its place. And it said that he made the first human beings and he put them in the, in like, in Greek, it's translated paradise. It's like this, it was probably as big as like the Smoky Mountain National Park. And that it was this awesome place. When it says that he put them there, it's a word that's related to, the Hebrew word related to the word Sabbath. And it says that God put them in the garden to work it and to keep it. It's like, there's the catch. He made his little slaves to like work the earth and be his little elves and all that stuff. But actually in Hebrew, it doesn't have the word it. It said he put them there for working and keeping. And the word working is a special word that's used of priests who like worshiping was like their stuff. And the word keeping is a word that means like to keep God's commandments. And it's just like God put them there just to be with him, to worship him and to follow him. And it was just about being with him. And I think like the first man and the first woman, it never would have occurred to them to wake up and think, what, you know, what goals do we have to achieve today? What can, how can I show how awesome I am? You know, that guy, he didn't look over at that woman and think, she's better looking than me, but I wonder if I can beat her at anything. You know, it's just, it, you know, how are we going to provide for ourselves? Jesus said, that's the way some people are like, what will we eat? What will we wear? You know, and it's like, what are we going to eat? And she would have said, what are we going to wear? We're good. You know, it's good like this. We don't have to worry about that stuff. It says, and it was evening and morning the sixth day. And the first morning they woke up, the first whole day that they spent together was a Sabbath day. And it doesn't say at the end of the seventh day, it's the only day that it doesn't say it. It says it was evening and morning the first day, evening and morning the second day, evening and morning the fifth day, evening and morning the sixth day. It doesn't say that it was evening and morning the seventh day. It was never supposed to end. Just that being with God and loving him and not stressing about goals, not stressing about problems. It was just, it says that one thing it says about the seventh day that it doesn't say about the other days is that God blessed it. It's a word that said God blessed the animals and they became fruitful and multiplied and God, you know, cute little puppies were born and little bear cubs and little, you know, lambs and stuff because God blessed them. That's why all little animals, the only little animals that aren't cute, I thought, are birds, you know, and it's probably why he put them, you know, in trees so you don't have to see them until they're ready for people to look at them. But, you know, and it says that God blessed the man and the woman and they were fruitful. To be fruitful, and it's a word that means fertility. And God blessed that last day just to be with him and to stop trying to prove how awesome you are and stop trying to provide for yourself and achieve your goals and solve your problems. Beautiful stuff comes out of that when people do it. And it was what it was supposed to always be. So you're like, okay, that was people like way back in the Old Testament. What does that mean for me? Does that mean, like, is the whole thing about the Sabbath? Like, are you telling me I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday? No, no, no. Because, like, Sunday for us, it's not the Sabbath day. Paul said we don't have days like that, that this is a special day and this is a Sabbath day. We don't live like that. You're like, well, I thought Sunday was a day where you kind of stop and you get with people who love God and you love God together and worship him and just enjoy the day. Well, it is totally. Well, it's kind of like the Sabbath day. Yeah, it's like the Sabbath day in that way. Wasn't it the same thing? Absolutely not. It's different It's a different day of the week. It's different in one very, very fundamental thing. And it is this, that the Sabbath day, they had to do it. It was the law of the living God. They broke the law when they didn't do it. We don't have that stuff anymore. You don't have to do this. There's no place in the New Testament that says you will get up on Sunday and meet with people who love God and enjoy that day together. There's no place that says it. When you read the New Testament, this is what happens. People who began to understand that Jesus was Almighty God, the Son, who came into our world to give like his life and his blood for us, and he rose from the dead to make us special, Paul says. Holy, that's what it means. Chosen. Beloved. You can't get any more special than that. He rose from the dead to make us that and to make Almighty God the Father be our dad so that he provides like everything that we need and you don't have to stress about any of your problems and providing for yourself and you don't have to worry at all about proving how awesome you are because you're a child of God. You can't be more awesome than that. You don't have to worry about like providing for yourself and solving your own problems. You have a dad that takes care of all that stuff. People, when they realized those things were true, from the very beginning, everywhere and always, just spontaneously began to get together and call that day the day of the Lord, like of Jesus, when people who love him and worship him get together with people who love him and they just stop and spend the day worshiping him. It just happens and has always happened. You don't have to do it, but people have always done it because, and sometimes people think, I don't see the point of it. Like, it doesn't really accomplish anything, and it doesn't really solve any problems, and you don't really, it's just kind of, it's like love. It doesn't accomplish anything, and it doesn't solve any problems. It's just love. It's just that. When a person realizes that because of Jesus, I really don't have to prove anything anymore. And I really don't have to, reach a bunch of goals in order to feel like I'm somebody special and be successful. I don't, because I'm a child of the living God. And I don't really have to solve any problems for myself. And I don't really have to provide for myself because I have a dad who provides for me. All of that stuff is really just kind of over. When a person realizes that, worship just blooms. And it just blossoms. And you just want to. And, if a person feels like, I don't really like it that much. Like, I don't really feel drawn to that, where you get together with people who love Jesus and sing songs to him and worship him. Well, you don't have to. And if you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, you are special to God. And he'll provide for you even if you don't think he will. But I bet if you don't really just spontaneously from your heart love it, love worshiping him and love telling him how much you love him, I bet you, which I don't know if it's right on Sunday to do that, but we're free, but I bet that somewhere in your heart you still think that you have to prove something. And it might be about that youth sports, competitive sports, and we need to do that instead because we're still out and trying to prove how awesome we are. Or you might think that you've got some problem that you really, really don't believe that you can stop and that God will provide for you. And I know for myself, you know, the thing about the Sabbath for us is that it's not a day. We just do this because people who love Jesus have always done it. And because in your heart, you just want to do it. But the Sabbath, in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, that's just supposed to be your life. Like your whole life is supposed to be enjoying the whole thing and not stressing about proving anything about how awesome you are, because it's over. And stressing about your problems and solving them and providing for yourself, because that's over. You have a dad who, you don't have to do any of that stuff. You can just enjoy your life. Everything wrong about, you know, most everybody is not getting. I remember this guy saying that he had this game, and he was doing his student teaching with special needs kids. And he had this game that he had learned. He said it was kind of Darwinian, called balloon stomp, where you get a balloon and you tie it to each kid's foot with some string on it. And what you would do is you would try to protect your balloon and stomp on everybody else's balloon. And so the whole time you're protecting your balloon, stomping on other balloons, and the last balloon standing was the one that won. And he was trying to teach this game to his class of kids who had Down syndrome. And he said they didn't get it because they love the game, but like if somebody was trying to stomp on your balloon, you would stop and try to help them stomp on it, and then they would help you stomp on yours, and they would get little groups and help them stomp on each other's balloons until everybody's balloon would stomp, and then they just shouted and hugged each other. And he's like, maybe they do get it. You know, I was reading this week in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and it was talking about David's mighty men, and it said he had hundreds of warriors. But he had three that were like his awesome guys. And then he had 30 that were pretty awesome. Not as awesome as the three, but 30 who were great. And one of the guys of the 30 was a guy named Benaniah. And he was so awesome that one time he had killed a 7.5-foot Egyptian by taking the guy's spear away from him and spearing him with it. And David's like, I killed a giant, but it was like from 70 feet away of the rock, man. That was awesome. But it said, but he didn't get to go into the three. He was just in the 30, which was awesome. And then he did something where there was a lion that had fallen into a trap that they set on a snowy day. And he jumped in there to kill it. And I just thought, that is stupid. I mean, you don't have to, why? And it's like, I wonder if David's, you know, if he's watching me. Do something stupid. I don't have to do that. I don't have to prove anything. But he never made it into the three. And it's just like, stop, dude. Just stop. I had a situation. I wasn't going to do this. But trying to build this dang barn for Dina, this goat barn, and I just wanted to do it. I wanted to build a barn. I'm sorry. I wanted to build a barn for her. I wanted it to be, I didn't know this going into it, that in my heart, I wanted it to be a man thing. I wanted to be able to do that for her, to do it. And I got stressed because I was trying to prove something. And God was so sweet to me that every day that I worked on it, he brought people who wanted to help me. They had tools that I needed that I didn't know. They had wisdom. And they had encouragement that I didn't know that I needed. Every day. I couldn't have done it on my own. And she, last week, we talked about it because he could not talk about it. And she said, I don't want you to be my dad who could do everything. And I didn't know. But that's who I was trying to be, because I wanted her to admire that in me, which it doesn't exist. She said, you don't have to. It's kind of how you know whether or not you get it. It's a sign. It's a sign for people who don't believe in Jesus that we enjoy life. And if you don't get it and you're stressed out and everybody is stressed out, you're still special to God. He'll still provide for you. But people are going to look at you and say, I don't want any of that. Man, do you believe in their religion? It just makes them all stressed out. They're so grumpy, you know. But it's just like, we can relax and enjoy this thing because we don't have to stress. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to succeed at anything. You are special to God. He's taking care of you. Chill. Laugh. Relax. When our Lord, on the day that he was nailed to a cross, and he shed his blood, he wasn't alone. There was a person on his left who was being nailed, who was nailed to a cross and was dying as well, and a person on his right. And it says that they were thieves. They may have been people who, in order to provide for their own self, stole stuff. It says in John chapter 19, a word that's used of Barabbas. The same word that's used of them is used of Barabbas. Barabbas was an insurrectionist. He was a revolutionary. He was a person who said, we will not take being suppressed by the Romans. We are better than that. We are more than that. We have something to prove. We have things to achieve. And some people were killed. And there was a man that maybe that had been his whole life trying to prove and trying to provide for himself. And it said for a while they were both making fun of Jesus. And it's like, dude, you're still doing it. Until he got to a place where he realized, I am guilty. And this is where I'm trying to prove something and provide for myself. This is where it's got me. But this man has done nothing. He's a king. He's the Lord. And he turned to him and said, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise, where it's a Sabbath all the time. The Sabbath began at sunset. But on that day, the sun went down at 12 noon. And he had 4 hours of Sabbath, of finally being able to stop and to rest and to enjoy being special and being provided for. And in some way, 4 hours of being nailed to wood were the sweetest hours he had ever.